you probably suspect is Radhashtami. Thank you. Today is, I think practically universally, this day is most dear to the devotees, because Radharani, Srimati Radharani, is most dear to the devotees. And so I want to begin by reading a text from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 9, which describes what we're doing here now. Lord Krishna says, Machita madgata prana bodhayantak parasparam katayantas cha mang nityang tu shanti cha ramanti cha. Machita. Krishna here is talking about his devotees, that their minds, their consciousness, Krishna says, is in me. And madgata prana. Prana, of course, nowadays in ISKCON, everyone knows about prana and yoga and so on. And, of course, prana means the vital energy, the vital breath, the breath of life, are sort of the core energy that sustains our life. And this is the word that Krishna has used. He literally, Krishna says here, madgata prana, that my devotees, their prana has gone to me, or is dedicated to me. So it means, not simply in any official or formal way, that I'm living for Krishna, but our very life breath, our most essential energy, our breath of life, our everything is actually on to Krishna. So it's not merely a formal dedication, but it actually indicates that at the deepest level of our being, at the deepest level, the core of our life energy, of our existence, we have gone to Krishna. And this describes the nature of a, if I can use that term, real devotee. In other words, someone who, despite any condition in life, will never give up Krishna. I mean, we can give up some of the, sometimes we drift away from some of the stricter practices of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we're not thinking of Krishna, but a real devotee, there's a sense in which for a devotee, Krishna is ultimately the most important thing in the world. And a devotee can never really give up that conviction, that state of being, in any condition of life, actually. So, then Krishna says about the devotees, bodhiyantak parasparam, they enlighten one another, or they wake up one another, not only in the ashram, where you come and shake people to get them up, but the devotees actually enlighten one another. For example, for me, coming here and seeing the beautiful deities is actually enlightening. Or now I'm trying to say something which hopefully may encourage you in your Krishna consciousness. So Krishna says, bodhiyantak parasparam, in awakening one another, enlightening one another. And katayantas cha mang nityam, always talking about me, tushanti cha, they are satisfied, ramanti cha, and they take pleasure. So today is the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is for all of us, is the personification of mercy, the personification of beauty, and in a sense, half of the absolute truth. Prabhupada always emphasized that this whole boy-girl thing, which is so prominent in this world, I mean, even among lower species of life, and even among lower species of human life, the male-female principle is very prominent. It literally kind of makes the world go round. And as we know, this world is a, as Prabhupada always said, perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So the male-female principle, not necessarily the way conditioned souls do it, or the way they express themselves, or the way they desire, and the way they act out their romantic or lusty notions, but at a more essential philosophical level, the principle of the male principle and the female principle originally come from God, originally exist in the absolute truth. And so the problem is not gender consciousness in the sense that if you're a boy and you realize, oh my God, there's another gender in the world. Or if you're female and you realize that not everybody's female. So it's not just this awareness. It's not even the perception, for example, of the beauty or the unique contribution or the unique value of this or that gender. It's a question of do we see gender as ultimately sacred? That ultimately the male principle is sacred because the supreme male principle is Krishna. And ultimately the female principle is sacred because the ultimate female principle is Radharani. So with this understanding, we don't repudiate, we don't reject, we don't despise the attraction between male and female. We actually refine it and do it right. Because even in the spiritual world, it's not that the male spiritual bodies, it's not like they don't notice that there's a lot of very beautiful female spiritual bodies around. But, as Prabhupada said, because there's so much attraction to Krishna, there's no lust, but there is love, and there is appreciation. Because Krishna, in a sense, Krishna's supreme, I don't want to say creation, but Krishna, the supreme manifestation of Krishna's creative power is Srimati Radharani. So not only is female beauty not evil, but actually, in a sense, it's the most glorious manifestation of Krishna's creative power. And it's... So to understand Srimati Radharani is actually to free oneself from material lust. In that sense, the problem with material life is not that in material life people are romantic. It's exactly the opposite. They're not romantic enough. The real problem is that in materialism, people are not deeply romantic. Because the most romantic conception is the conception of perfect love. And in perfect love, there's no lust. In perfect love, there's no desire for sense gratification. There's no desire to take, to exploit, to use another soul. There's only the desire to give. And when there is this pure love, only giving, with no desire to take or to gratify one's own senses, that is the highest romantic conception, and that is spiritual. In that sense, it's like, you know, there's a well-known sort of socio-psychological principle that if someone is very close to you, but in some significant way disagrees with you, that person becomes more threatening than someone who's just like grossly different from you. So, for example, let's say if someone is a Gaudiya Vaishnav, but, oh my God, I thought we didn't have to do the cell phone announcement. Maybe we do. Cell phones. If your cell phone goes off, you have to give it to me. And it becomes my property, and then I'll donate it to a charity of my choice. So, for example, if someone is a Gaudiya Vaishnav but doesn't accept Prabhupada or Krishna, that becomes, in a sense, more threatening than if someone is just, I don't know, a Muslim or a Presbyterian or something like that. Or, you know, they say like... So in that sense, because if you study the hierarchy of life, if you study the gradual elevation of the soul from the deepest ignorance to the highest spiritual perfection, there are, of course, the three modes of nature, which are, well... Probably didn't know this. Ignorance, passion, and goodness. But the spiritual platform is not a rejection of goodness. It's not that to be spiritual means to reject material goodness. It means to improve it, to accept material goodness, and then to improve it, to refine it. And therefore, the spiritual platform is called Shuddha Sattva, or Vishuddha. It's purified goodness. The problem with material goodness is that there's not enough goodness. If you take goodness, and simply take away everything which is not really goodness, then that's the spiritual platform. Because after all, the spiritual platform is Shuddha Sattva, purified goodness. So in that sense, this is personalism. This is personalism. That all of the, in fact, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that yad-yad-vibhuti-mat-sattvam, every existence, every existing thing which is glorious, yad-yad-vibhuti-mat-sattvam, simad, which is beautiful, urjitam, powerful, evava, and so on, tat-tareva, in every case, in each and every case, that's literally what it sounds like in Sanskrit, tatareva. It means in each, that's how you say in each and every case. In each and every case, tatareva avagachatvam, understand. Even the word for understand is kind of interesting. It literally means get down into it. That's what it means. I mean, Sanskrit's a cool language. It's not as pompous and as we sometimes think. So, ava means down, like avatar, and gacha means go, as in go for it. So avagacha means like get into it, get down into it, and see what it really is. And that's one of the ways you say understand in Sanskrit. So Krishna says, tatareva avagacha tvam. In each and every case, you should understand that is mama tejo angsa sambhavam, that existence which is beautiful, which is powerful, which is glorious, it arises, as we translate it, from a spark of my splendor, a tejo angsa, a part of my splendor. So all the beautiful things in this world, we don't reject them. We want to actually restore them to their rightful position. And that includes restoring gender to its rightful position, restoring the beauty of nature to its rightful position, restoring goodness to its rightful position, restoring friendship to its rightful position. All of the good things of this world, all of the attractive things of this world, the problem is not they're attractive. The problem is that our attraction is sort of nasty. It's like, you know, sort of like a doing the opposite of one of those famous lines, one of the old Hare Krishna films, oh, what a beautiful flower. Wouldn't it be nice to steal it from Krishna? So, in other words, the neutral perception that this object is beautiful, this woman is beautiful, or this man is whatever, or this scene, that perception in and of itself is not Maya. It's the next stage in a psychological sequence. How do I respond to the fact that that's beautiful? What is my psychological response? If my response is to get my greasy little hands on it, to possess it, to control it, then welcome to the Mahatattva. But if my response is that this is a beautiful object, I should offer this to Krishna, Krishna should enjoy this, then I'm on the spiritual platform. After all, if Krishna has made something beautiful and I don't recognize the beauty, first of all, I'm probably just being willfully stupid or in the name of religion or something, which is a very popular thing to do. In other words, the impersonal notion is that there really is no value in this world. That if we think something is attractive in this world, we should just, you know, piously hit ourselves over the head with a croquet mallet or something. But the Krishna conscious perspective is that every beautiful thing in this world is beautiful because that's what Krishna does. He makes far out things. You know, that's just the way Krishna is. Krishna, by the way, I mean Radharani, they are, how much time do I have left before I get plenty of time? Krishna, I mean, Radha Krishna are so wonderful. Imagine, sometimes we have like a very pompous, formal view of God, and that's better. That's better than being offensive. So if your two real options are being very formal or offensive, go for formality. But ultimately, as we advance in Krishna consciousness, we understand how wonderful Krishna is. I mean, if, let's say we simply hadn't been informed that Krishna comes as a hog. Because after all, the Bhagavatam says, avatara hyasankyeya hare. The avatars of Hari, the incarnations of Hari, are literally innumerable, asankyeya. So what the list we have, like the Dash avatars, the 10 avatars, it's just a tiny little sample. It's almost an infinitesimal list. So if we had not been told that one of Krishna's avatars is a hog, and I, let's say, came up here and I said, you know, Krishna can appear as a pig if he wants. Oh, my God. I don't know. I mean, I'd probably get out the Vedic tar and feathers. So, but the point is, I mean, talk about surfing. People like to body surf or sometimes on boards. Krishna actually comes as a fish. When Krishna wants to surf, he comes as a fish, you know, because they're the best swimmers. And he rides the biggest waves in the universe, the waves of annihilation. So imagine surfing the waves of annihilation. So Krishna, if you think about it, Krishna is the most creative. Krishna is the most, he's young. Krishna and Radha and Krishna have chosen. Radha and Krishna have chosen to be eternal teenagers. And if you think about it, Prabhupada used to say that Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world are like 16 years old, something like that. Because at that age, a person is old enough to have real love. There can be real love, real understanding, real friendship. You're not just a kid. You can have a serious relationship, but you're not so old that you kind of wreck it by, you know, all the stuff that happens afterwards. So Radha and Krishna, so it's not that, how should I put it, it's not that Radha and Krishna are these formal deities who are playing like a teenage couple. It's actually the opposite, as Prabhupada explains it, that actually Radha and Krishna are a teenage couple playing like deities. In other words, Radha and Krishna, and this is what the whole point of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, this is the original form of God. There is no other God that stands behind Radha and Krishna and appears as Radha and Krishna. This is it. You know, what you see is, that's it. That is the original form of God. And so therefore, any other appearance of the Lord is an expansion for those who are not as intimate, or Krishna comes down to this world and agrees to act or to be the God of religion. Krishna accepts the formalities of our worship because we need it. It's something we need. It's Krishna's mercy that he agrees to stand as the God of religion, accept our worship, so that we can gradually come to the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti. But ultimately, when we receive the full blessings of this great movement, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and we go back to the spiritual world, we are actually with Radha and Krishna in this spontaneous, loving way. And so this is the original form of the Absolute Truth, Radha and Krishna. They are eternal lovers who agree to participate, to be the object of the formal worship of religion, so that people can gradually rise to the point of entering into their pastimes. Any questions on these points? Before I dare to say more. Yes.
So you say that beauty of the world is just beautiful without existentialist or illusory goddess.
To think that this is beautiful, I'm the enjoyer of this beautiful object. That's illusory. Or to think that temporary things are eternal is also illusory. But the simple perception, because Krishna says that. Krishna says in the Gita that there are beautiful, that the world is full of beautiful things. Krishna says it. And he's not on the mental platform. He's Krishna. Krishna says there are so many beautiful things in this world. But if I misunderstand those beautiful things, illusion is to misunderstand. To see that Krishna's creation is fantastic. It's amazing. Is to understand, to try to exploit that, or to think that I can possess this, or that the temporary is eternal. That's the misunderstanding. Because it's an inappropriate and ignorant response to a very beautiful creation. If you look at those, you must have seen, you know, they send it around the internet, those blow-up pictures of water crystals. I mean, if you just look at water crystals, like it's like the most incredible art. Water crystals, snowflakes. If you look at large blown-up pictures of insects, like tiny insects, it's the most psychedelic thing in the world. It's like way, way beyond the bar scene in Star Wars. So, I mean, you could very... It's obvious that we live, among other things, in a universe of art. We live in a universe of art. The whole universe is on the material platform, a supreme artistic creation. You look at water crystals, organic cells, snowflakes, insects. Look anywhere. Look anywhere in the creation, and you'll find it is a universe of art made by a supreme artist. So that even when Krishna creates a prison, it's like an incredibly stylish prison. I mean, think about it. There are not a lot of really stylish prisons in this country. They tend to have rather monotonous architecture. But, you know, they're sort of like blocky and whatever. But even when Krishna is making a prison or an insane asylum or whatever you want to call this place, it's incredibly artistic. Isn't it? It's just fantastically artistic. Even water drops. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that water is one of my energies. But even water, just look at little drops of water and it's like this fantastic art. It's this supremely creative geometry. Krishna is the supreme geometer. He's the supreme artist. He's the supreme lover. And Radharani is his female counterpart. Radharani is the most worthy female that exists. The most beautiful. The greatest character. The most... She possesses unlimitedly every desirable quality. So, today is her appearance day. And one last point maybe I'll make before the hook comes out. And that is... Oh, my God. Oh. Well, good. Good thing I talk fast. So, you could raise the question. We often hear, well, first of all, I'll preface it by a statement. We often hear that Krishna came to this world not only to save the fallen souls, that was his external purpose. His internal purpose was to relish the love of Radharani by coming in the mood of Radharani. Now, it seems to me there's a very logical question that one should ask here, and that is, okay, that makes perfect sense. You know, whenever there's two lovers, each one always thinks likes to think about what the other person thinks of, you know, what does this person think of me, and so on. That's one of the great pastimes in conjugal relationships. In fact, it becomes obsessive for some people. But so Krishna, you could say, Krishna had this very natural desire to experience directly Radharani's love. But why, in God's name, if he's going to do that, why would you do it in the material world? If you want to experience the most ecstatic, intimate, advanced spiritual love, why would you come down to this creepy place to do it? And if you're going to do it, why come in the Kali Yuga? Why do it in the material world at all? I mean, the spiritual world, it's like there's no crowding. They have tremendous quantity of real estate up there. And there's plenty of room. Krishna can always find a place to do this wonderful little experiment of, you know, feeling what Radharani feels. So why come to the material world at all to experience most intimate love, and why do it in Kali Yuga? How does this combine with Krishna's other purpose, which is just yada yada hi dharmasya, to save the fallen souls of sage? The relation is actually, I think, very clear. And that is, if you look at Krishna Leela in Dwapara Yuga, it's like heads were flying. Krishna terminated a lot of people. Krishna is also the supreme terminator. And a very large number of impious people were at least to have their bodies terminated in Krishna Leela. And then if you look at Chaitanya Leela, no one gets killed. I mean, it's amazing that Lord Chaitanya doesn't kill anyone. There's a near miss with Jagai and Madai, and a Buddhist priest gets bopped on the head with a tray. And so because actually it's only Krishna in the mood of Radharani that is so compassionate and so soft-hearted that to actually come in this amazing age of Kali and just sort of be nice to everybody. And that really is the mood of Radharani. When Krishna comes into Dwapara Yuga, he's not in the mood of Radharani, he's in the mood of Krishna, and heads are flying, and other body parts. But when Krishna comes in the Kali Yuga, he's just kind to everyone, and that is the influence of Radharani. That's why Krishna comes in the mood of Radharani in this age, because it's her tender compassion, her infinite mercy, that gives us all a hope of salvation, even in this age. So there is actually a very powerful connection between the internal and the external purpose of Krishna's incarnation. Yes?
Maharaj, doesn't he also come, though, for the benefit of those that can only see him as cruel death?
Well, cruel death takes place every day without his incarnation. I mean, Krishna, of course, even the demons who attacked Krishna in Dwapara Yuga, they were actually kind of astonished at how good looking he was. There's so many stories like that where these really bad demons, they go to attack Krishna, they stop for a moment and think, my God, he's good looking. And then they go forward and, you know, Krishna takes a little off the top. There's so much cruel death in this age. I'm not recommending you read newspapers or internet news sites, but the people of this age are killing each other so efficiently that, you know, if Krishna came to kill him, he'd almost have to wait in line. So in this age, Krishna comes in the mood of Radharani, because that is the supreme compassion. The supreme compassion is Radharani. Yes.
Some people have the notion that in order to get into the pastimes of Radha Krishna, you really have to get into Raganuga Bhakti and read about the pastimes and everything. And it seems like
I was in Prabhupada's room right upstairs, actually, where Prabhupada really got... Prabhupada got so angry at that notion. Well, and it wasn't that. Someone suggested that I want to just hear about conjugal leela because the gopis are higher than the cowherd boys. When Prabhupada heard very conditioned souls, very much in the bodily concept of life, saying, well, I don't want to go down to that level of Krishna's cowherd boys, Prabhupada literally was so furious. I remember I was sitting right next to him. His face was twitching with rage. And I can tell you, I can give you a little testimony here. And that is that I've been trying to serve Prabhupada since 1969. And, all of us that have been around for a while, Esavas Prabhu, to be in the trenches of the Hare Krishna movement, you know what we go through. It's like, Krishna, let me put it this way. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that you can get liberation in one lifetime, but it's like, whew. Fasten your seatbelt. So my own life experiences, that just going through all we go through, following the principles, chanting all the disappointments, chiefly caused by our own vanity, but all the disappointments, all the struggles, serving, all the sacrifices you have to make to really hang on to Prabhupada's lotus feet. And after years and years and years of this, you really do start to penetrate into the mystery of Krishna's pastimes. I can say that. You really do start to understand what the spiritual world is like, and what Krishna is like and what Radha is like, and you really do start to grow into a personal relationship with them on the spiritual platform. And so for someone that's doing that, you know, decades and decades of sacrifice and service, and I mean, the supreme school of hard knocks is the Hare Krishna movement. And so after going through all this, you really, so the idea that some kind of sort of like New Age fantasy where you get a Shakti pot or something, you know, Prabhupada kind of joked about this where, you know, give me a jolt of electricity and you can skip all the surrender, all the sacrifice. You don't have to prove your sincerity. You don't have to go through all the purification. Someone just like, it becomes ludicrous. It's absurd because frankly, it's just like your child. The worst thing you can do for your child is to give your child everything, even if the child doesn't deserve it, even if the child doesn't behave properly. You actually ruin your child. And teaching your child the necessary relationship between earning something and then deserving it and receiving it, unless you teach your child that, you'll ruin your child. So why should Krishna ruin us? By not teaching us these things. And when you actually do experience Radha and Krishna and life in the spiritual world, when you really do experience it, and I would actually be false to say that we have no experience of that. Last sentence, everyone freeze. When you actually do experience this, then the idea... When this is over, I'm going to say one more sentence and then get out of the way. So everyone freeze. Last sentence. When you actually experience this, the idea to go out to conditioned souls who are lusty and greedy and full of false pride and to throw all this stuff in front of them is actually absurd and totally inappropriate. No one who actually has realized Radha Krishna Leela would do such a thing. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Radhe Govinda, Jaya Radhe Govinda, Sri Sri Radha Raman Hari Radhe Govinda Jaya Radhe Govinda Jaya Radhe Govinda Radhe Govinda Jaya Radhe Govinda Jaya Radhe Govinda Nitai Gaura Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Gaura Hari Bol Nitai Gaura